Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:09 p.m. and this is Pacific Summer Time, and today is October 15th. Well, I thought I would kick off today by looking at a longer-term chart of U.S. Treasury prices. There's been a clear downward trend since 2016. There's a short-term oversold condition right now, so there is certainly potential for at least a pause, and that really does look like what we're getting right now, despite the fact that the price was down a little in here today. We've seen a bounce over the last 4 or 5 sessions, and this is at least in tandem with the weakness that we've seen on the S&P 500. But we haven't seen nearly the same rally in bond prices as we have seen the decline in equity prices. And this has been another very sharp reaction, not as large in terms of magnitude compared with what we saw in February, but it is of the same kind, or it's having at least the same kind of influence on market sentiment. But we have a short-term oversold condition, and this is quite characteristic of what we see from a type 2 reaction, a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And the prevailing trend is certainly that progression of higher reaction lows that we've seen since the beginning of April. Well, now the question is, how much of a bounce are we going to get? And will the region of the trend mean continue to represent an area of support? And there's no reason to expect that it won't continue to represent support until we see a sustained move below it. And back in 2015, that was the closest parallel that we have for this kind of situation, where the market did pull back, but then was able to rally again by the beginning of 2016. That could easily have been a top formation back in 2015, but the size of the decline was relatively measured, and now prices are considerably higher. So this is a rather important level where stock markets need to be able to demonstrate that they can find support. And I think what is perhaps most likely is that we're going to get at least a rotation. If this is going to remain a bull market environment generally for the major indices, then we are definitely getting some rotation going on right now. So, for example, the Russell 2000, which had been the clear outperformer, is now trading below its trend mean. It has still got this progression of higher reaction lows, but this is certainly a larger reaction than we saw, for example, back in February. So this index had broken out first, had consolidated first, moved on to new highs first, now has pulled back first and has had a larger reaction than it did in February. Well, this is demonstrating small caps sensitivity to interest rates, and then the commonality that we're seeing right across the small cap sector, whether we're looking at the USA or in Japan, whether we're looking at the FTSE 250 index in the UK, where we've also seen a bigger decline, a break in the progression of higher reaction lows, and some additional weakness in here today. The MDAX in Germany, which had been the best performing of those sectors within Germany, and then has also experienced this big reaction here. It's in fact another example of another bigger reaction than we saw back in February. Well, of course, we know why. It's because these are interest rate sensitive investments, and US 10-year treasuries have, despite the fact that we've had a little weakness, they continue to hold this move above the 3% level, and this does look like a chart that has got legs here, despite the short-term risk of some consolidation. And again, we know what the reason for that is, that there is lots of additional of supply coming into this market, and there is the simple fact of the matter that the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its balance sheet. Well, that is, I think, one of the causal factors behind this period of consolidation at a minimum that we're getting. If the interest rates sensitive sectors are pulling back, well, so are semiconductors. And the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is right back on the region of its lows, but it is now trading below its trend mean. And this is a rather key area. If it's going to find support, then and confirm a support in the region of the January and April lows, well, it would really want to be getting about it. When we look at Nvidia, well, that has been by far the one of the best performing shares over the last few years. It was the best performing share on the S&P, or I can't remember if it was the S&P or the Nasdaq in 2016, and again in 2017. Well, then it has continued to advance for just about all of this year, and now it is back below the trend mean for the first time in almost 3 years. So this is a rather serious break in terms of the trend's consistency. It has broken its progression of higher reaction lows. This is a share that needs to bounce and do so in a hurry if the consistency of this trend is going to remain intact. What we can also definitely see is that there has been a loss of momentum this year, considering that the share went from approximately $32 to $100 in 2016, and from 100 to 200 in 2017. Well, it went from 200 to almost 300 this year. So these are diminishing returns in terms of the percentage moves that we've seen, and there's been this very choppy action for all of 2018. So certainly there is a loss of momentum, there is a now loss of consistency, and you're getting failed upside breaks. So this is holding out the prospect of an evolving type 2 top formation, and we would have to think that there have got to be some stops around this area. So it really does need to bounce and do so in a rather dynamic manner in here right now. Well, when we look at some of the laggards within the sector, Microchip Technologies extended its decline last week. Now it's got a short-term oversold condition, but this is a very clear break of the trend. This is a completed type 2 top formation here, a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Now the question is how much of consolidation is it going to get, and whether it can muster the wherewithal to get back above 80. But one would have to be very brave indeed to be buying it at these kinds of levels. Lam Research also suffering in here, not least because of this hardware hacking scandal that's been involving coming out of China. So these are significant events. Not only do you have rising interest rates that are pressuring the interest rate sensitive sectors like small and mid caps, but then you also have this trade war and the continued deterioration of relationships between the USA and China. Well, there has been a big discussion about how can China retaliate against the increasing tariffs against the that the USA is imposing. Well, one of the things that they're doing is easing up on the moratorium on exports into North Korea. There was news last week that Kim Jong-un turned up to his meeting with the USA in a Rolls-Royce, and that's not something that he had previously. So there are certainly clear supply lines that are still open, particularly to China. When we look at the geopolitical sector, then you also have this evolving situation with Saudi Arabia, where they were very clear to point out to all and sundry today that they are a major contributor to the ability of the global economy to continue to grow. Well, it would be self-destructive of Saudi Arabia to curtail oil exports, not least because there are a lot more competitors for supply right now. But there's also the point that the fact that you have a very eminent reporter has gone missing in their embassy is something that they're going to have to answer to, and that whatever answer they provide, the global economy has got an incentive to accept their explanation. So that's part of the reason why oil prices did not rally more. But they are demonstrating at least near-term support around this $80 area, and that represented an area of resistance between May and September. So this is an example potentially of past resistance becoming future support, and as long as the $80 area continues to hold, well, we can conclude that this is still a reasonably consistent overall medium-term uptrend. And when we look at it on a medium-term basis, we have $10 reactions this year that have been one above another. This has not been a $10 rally, but it is finding support, at least pausing, in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. But there's still approximately a $7 overextension relative to the trend mean. So what that at least suggests is that even if we do see support being found here, then there's plenty of potential for some ranging to occur to allow that overbought condition relative to the trend mean to be unwound. Well, sticking with geopolitics, gold prices today were in additional positive territory, up another $9. So far this has not only held, but it's starting to extend this break up and out of this range. If ranges are explosions waiting to happen, well then this has been a pretty impressive breakout, and it is now rapidly unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But much more important than that is that it has broken the progression of lower rally highs evidenced in it since April. So this is, I think, a rather important development here, that gold prices have more or less held the bottom of the range evidenced since the beginning of 2016. It would have been I think a much more desirable outcome if they had held the region of the trend mean back in May, but that was just not going to be the case. But now we are seeing increasing evidence that support has been found. When we look at some of the other precious metals, then silver prices were up 7 cents in here today and have continued to hold this mild upward bias since the middle of September. And platinum prices, which have been leading on the upside among the precious metals, pushed briefly above that psychological $850 area in here today, but wasn't quite able to hold it. Well, there's been an upward bias since the beginning of September. It has pushed back up into the overhead trading range. It has triggered the region where a midpoint danger line stop would have been implemented, and now it is pushing on to new higher highs. So we have higher lows and higher highs, and it's broken the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. So we're in a new uptrend here for platinum, and really a sustained move back below $800 would be required to question that conclusion. Palladium prices also rallied last week to break their downward bias, and they were also in positive territory in here today. So this also looks like a recovery scenario for the palladium price. And palladium has been the clear outperformer among the precious metals over the course of the last few years, not just the last couple of weeks, as this continues to look like a resurgent environment generally. Well, copper prices are much more influenced by what's going on in China, and the Chinese market was in negative territory today, and copper was also in negative territory. But it needs to hold that $2.70 area if the return to a more bullish aspect is to be given the benefit of the doubt. The more important point here is also that it has broken the downward bias evidence since June, and as long as it can hold this consolidation, then we can perhaps give some credibility to potential for additional upside. When we look at the continuous commodity index, it continues to rebound from the lower side of this almost 3-year range. So that's a positive development. It's also pushing back above the trend mean, and if it can continue, then it's going to start dragging that trend mean back up again. Of course, it would need to sustain a move up and out of this range to really confirm a return to medium-term demand dominance. But some of the weakest constituents in the soft commodity sector have been doing better. Coffee prices have rallied almost 20% in the last few weeks and are now back above the trend mean and breaking this 2-year downtrend. So that is confirming support in the region of the 2013 and 2008 lows for the coffee price. And sugar prices, having trended lower for most of the year, have also stabilized and are back above the trend mean. So this also has broken this medium-term downtrend and confirmed support in the region of the lows from 2015 in this case, and also 2008. Well, soybean prices have been under rather a lot of pressure, but despite the fact that I continue to see news stories about how large the US crop is, we're seeing that this is another commodity which has been demonstrating support in the region of the lows seen over the last decade. So we are starting to see a turn in the commodity prices, and that is regardless of the fact that China has imposed tariffs on US agricultural exports. It's an awfully big world out there, and with a growing global population, then there should be demand for additional commodities. Well, that's a longer-term bullish hypothesis, but what we've also seen is that a lot of bad news has already been priced in, and you just don't need a lot to go wrong in terms of supply insecurity to start to drive prices higher again. Well, of course, there is the additional point that the dollar has stopped rallying, and at least it is no longer offering a daily headwind to commodity prices, but neither has it fallen very much. And when we look at the dollar index on a weekly basis, this just looks like a consolidation above the trend mean, and a sustained move below it would really be required to question the potential for additional dollar upside. But the big question is really about what's going to happen in Europe. And the euro is around the 116 area right now, but it's encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean over the course of the last 6 months, and that would need to change in order to really, I think, confirm that we're really questioning the dollar's dominance. You have the fact that Italy is rocking the boat in terms of the ECB's fiscal, or the European Commission's fiscal rules. Well, JGB, excuse me, BTP yields were in mildly negative territory in here today, but this continues to look like a completing first step above the base. And we're going to hear from S&P and from Moody's next week about whether, or I think it's actually towards the end of this week, whether they are going to downgrade Italian debt. Considering where the yield is right now, it really should be followed by a high yield or a junk bond rating. And if that does in fact occur, well, there's going to be a lot of pension funds are going to have to sell these bonds. And that represents an existential threat to the Eurozone project, because the ECB is either going to have to buy Italian bonds, and they're not going to want to do that. And Mario Draghi was very vocal today saying that they weren't going to buy Italian bonds. But if they don't, well, then that's going to create a very big problem in terms of the Italian market. So the rest of Europe is not going to be completely immune from that. Well, there are rules that are in place that the ECB can only buy 33% of the issues that are in the market, but that could be changed at a keystroke. And bund yields are currently around 50 basis points on the 10-year, but and this does look like it is going to move higher. That we are seeing a lot of commonality in the government bond markets. Well, these are, I think, important changes that are going on right now, because we're starting to see government bond yields rising after an extended period where they have been really quite depressed. And that's something that is having an effect on asset prices. Then you also have the fact that China is at a point where it needs to start stimulating the economy. But they are also rather sensitive to what's going on in terms of the currency. Well, the stock market continues to trend lower. And when we look at the primary large companies that are listed overseas, Alibaba was in additional negative territory in here today. Ctrip, having been bouncing last week, gave up some of that advance in here this week. It really does need to hold the recent low if the potential for a reversion to the mean is to be given the benefit of the doubt. JD.com was also under pressure in here today, and that's a very wide overextension relative to the trend mean, but of course there are big questions over its CEO, who's also the chairman. So It's not as if China is bereft of issues here, and I continue to think that it represents the epicenter of global risk. Because if the USA goes ahead and introduces fresh tariffs on China, then it is likely that the renminbi will continue to weaken from here. And this looks like nothing more than a consolidation in the region of this peak for the dollar. And I think that the most likely scenario is that it is going to break higher. Then, when we look at what's going on in India, well, the stock market is rebounding from its short-term oversold condition. And this also represents the region of the lows put in back in February. So a lot of bad news has been priced in, and not least because of the weakness that we've seen in the banking sector. But the banks have stabilized somewhat over the course of the last week. They might have been in negative territory in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. And if the banks can push back above the trend mean, well, then that would, I think, help to bolster some confidence. Also, the rupee has been among the weaker currencies globally, and it is also still trending lower in a reasonably consistent manner. It would need to break its sequence of, or the dollar sequence of higher reaction lows to really question the potential for the rupee to continue to weaken from here. Well, when we look at the Australian market, it's been led lower by the Aussie dollar, and the ASX 200 is now right back in the region of the low that we saw in February. That also represented the region of the lows seen in 2017. So there is a short-term oversold condition, and there is potential here for additional upside if it can muster the ability to bounce from this area. So I think when we start to look around the world, there are a significant number of indices that are in the region of their respective lows. The FTSE 100 has fell 4.4% last week, and it was in mildly positive territory in here today. And when we look at the trend, then this is right in the region of the upper side of this underlying trading range. 7,000 has been a big psychological level for the FTSE over the course of the last 18 years. If it can find support here, well, then we're still talking about a first step above this long-term ranging phase. If it fails, well, then the potential is that it could give up 1,000 points before it tests the next major higher reaction low. So this is another rather key level for markets to really demonstrate that they can find support. When we look at, for example, the Euro Stoxx index, well, it's been looking like completing top formation for a while, and then it broke downwards last week. Well, it was in mildly positive territory in here today, but golly, Europe has got a lot of work to do to really start to demonstrate that there's a bull market argument here, that Europe has got some very large issues. One thing that I've written a little bit about in here today, but I think it's something that we all need to think about, is that I've seen a number of commentators saying that the central banks are out of tools and that the next crisis is going to be is going to put them under pressure. But that's not necessarily the case. That it's simply that they've used a lot of quantitative easing already, and interest rates are already very low. But they have other tools that are potentially available to them that just haven't been implemented yet. That when you have control of issuing currency, there is no limit to what you can do with it. And that is, I think, something that everybody needs to consider, that when it comes to the next recession, and I think that's why I think we need to pay particular attention to China, then to Europe, then to the USA, because it is in China where we have the greatest evidence of a slowdown. It's we have existential threats within Europe, and then the USA is still continuing to benefit from its performance economically, and from the turn to fiscal stimulus. Well, the rest of the world could adopt the fiscal stimulus mantra, And if they don't, well, then that's likely to continue to put pressure on their respective markets. When we look at relative strength, the underperformance that's been going on in China all year is being followed now by Europe. The smaller caps are picking up, and then we're starting to see the Chinese large cap shares that are listed overseas are weighing on not only the emerging markets ETFs, but also on other domestic markets. Then it's the major technology shares that continue to represent some of the more consistent trends. Apple was down a little in here today, but it's still trending higher and has got an overextension relative to the trend mean that could be closed before we have to consider that the consistency of the trend is damaged. Amazon has pulled back to the region of the trend mean, and it was in negative territory in here today, but not in a dynamic manner. And every other occasion over the course of the last few years that it has come back to the trend mean, it has bounced. And I think people will be looking at it for it to do that again. Google, on the other hand, is somewhere in between. And it is now right in the region of its trend mean and has not been able to push back above it. So, Google had been one of the most consistent trends in the world, then it started losing uptrend consistency. And now it is trading below the trend mean. So, this is an increasingly inconsistent trend. If we were looking for clear signs of inconsistency among the largest companies in the world, well, Google has got a less consistent trend now than either Apple or Amazon. And Facebook was the leading decliner among the big FANG shares with that massive reaction and very large downside key reversal from the peak in the middle of the year. Well, it's right in the region of its lows for the year right now. And this is a rather interesting level from where it should be expected to bounce if this is nothing more than a consolidation rather than a top formation. So I think when we start to then look at some of the shares that had been trending rather aggressively, whoops, that's not Microsoft. They've got to type the ticker correctly. Then Microsoft, for example, having adopted the subscription business model, has seen its cyclicality become much less choppy, and it's engaged in a process of mean reversion, but it doesn't look like anything other than mean reversion right now. Cisco Systems is a pretty similar example. It also adopted a subscription business model and has been trending more consistently since then, but it does need to hold the region of the trend mean. When we think about the evolution of other sectors, well, Verizon has been ranging below approximately $55 for the last 5 years. If it can sustain a move up and out of this range, well, then we're talking about a new bull market environment. Disney had spent years ranging and is continuing to consolidate below this $120 area. Nike is another share that had broken up and out of a rather lengthy consolidation. Now it's in the region of the trend mean, and this is an important area for it to demonstrate that it can find support. Well, the Dow Jones spent some of the day in positive territory but closed in negative territory in here today, and that's following a very large pullback last week and a rebound on Friday. Well, now it needs to demonstrate that it can hold this psychological 25,000 point level. And that's, I think, a key area of potential support here, not least because it's such a big psychological round number. But the more important point is that if it fails here, well, then that is going to open up the potential that it could go right back down and test the lower side of the range, considering that this is a failed upside break and that the dynamic of the failure is larger than the dynamic of the breakout. That's a rule of thumb from the chart seminar, and that could hold out the prospect for a somewhat larger pullback in stock markets. Then people will start to ask the question whether this is an evolving top formation or just a medium-term consolidation similar to what we saw back in 2015. Well, then we have to start thinking about what the stock market is telling us about the lead indicators for future problems. Most of the lead indicators that we look at for recessions are US-based, but it's perhaps they're not as reliable right now because the greatest risk for a recession is perhaps not in the USA. It might be somewhere else, which means that we need to pay particular attention to what is going on in China and in Europe, because that is where we see the clearest evidence of underperformance and top formation completion. So I think that is perhaps the biggest conclusion, that if we were going to look for evidence here of things to worry about, well, it is that certainly we need to be aware of what is going on in the USA right now, but that it is not the epicenter of global risk. And that therefore it is more likely that if there is a problem elsewhere, it could be susceptible to some contagion, but that would set up a buying opportunity, whereas the real epicenters of risk, well, they will be the ones that probably have the greatest potential for the biggest declines, and subsequently could be slower to rebound. I think that is one of the more important things to bear in mind as we look ahead over the coming months, and the ability of these stock markets to find support in the region of their respective trend means. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.